The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we're continuing on our journey since the first of the year. We've been focusing on faith. You'll remember on January 3rd, I think it was the first Sunday of January, we challenged ourselves to grow in faith in this coming year. And it wasn't, you remember, it wasn't the implication that we needed to get more faith, but really just use the faith that we want, that we already have. In fact, we established from the Word of God that we all have the same measure of faith. Peter writes in his letter, and he says, I'm writing to those who have the same faith that I do, we apostles have. And so it isn't a matter of getting more faith. It is a matter of putting into practice the faith that we do have, allowing it to grow. And really, it is almost more a matter of getting rid of unbelief. How many of you know you can have unbelief and faith side by side? The disciples had faith, and yet Jesus from time to time got on their case a little bit about their unbelief. And so in truth, and it's another way of saying it, we are growing, our faith is more out there because unbelief is being destroyed in our lives. That one of the primary reasons for preaching the Word of God is to stir faith, to impart faith, to build faith. One of the primary reasons we prophesy over one another is to build faith, to do something on the inside of us. We read a few weeks back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we are growing in our faith. This morning, I want to take us to the book of James, beginning at verse 14, and read a portion where James talks about faith, but in reality, he has already been talking about faith throughout the whole first two chapters. This is James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. We'll read it, and then let's talk. Verse 14, chapter 2, the book of James. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Wow. Quite a challenging message. In fact, I've observed over the years as I read the book of James that his words were always quite challenging and quite right to the point. He's the one that said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials for the testing of your faith. And that's in chapter 1. And in truth, James, all throughout his letter, before what we just read and after, really is focusing on faith. Not in a way that might be line upon line, but in the first few chapters, he talks about faith endures trials with joy. He talks about faith overcomes temptation. He talks about faith inspires obedience. He talks about faith causes us to honor others. Faith causes us to be men and women of humility. And so there is this focus on the reality that faith does something on the inside of us. Faith is not intellectual. We have, you know, we have the saying, well, I'm just standing in faith. I hope you will leave here this morning with the conviction that you need to do way more than stand in faith. Having done all, stand. But until you've done all, I wouldn't stand. I wouldn't recommend it. Because your faith is dead. And a dead faith, you might as well have a dead Christ. The reality is we need to put our faith into action. We need to put our faith into words. I appreciated the prayer time this morning and the emphasis about decree. Do you understand how important your words of faith are? Do you understand that, you know, we talk about speaking to the mountain. Do you understand that the mountains in your life need to hear your voice? Yes. They do. And if I could, I'll say this as gently as I can, but they need to hear your voice, not someone else's voice on your behalf.
That's right.
Many of us don't see the breakthroughs in our own personal life because we're not willing to pray the price. We're not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to get under the load of whatever it is God is doing and speak to the mountain.
That's right.
Declare some things. Our words are very powerful. Barb used the term decree. What on earth is a decree? It is a declaration that has legal backing.
Amen. Yeah.
It has a legality behind it. And you might say, well, who am I to decree anything? You are a child of God. You are an ambassador of the King. And you have a right in Jesus' name to declare the realities of the kingdom. See, this faith talks like the Bible is true. You ever wondered what words of faith are like? They talk like the Bible is true. Now, I know that there are people in this room who over the years have been turned off by people of faith because it sounds so arrogant and so proud, but the reality is faith does have a voice and it must speak. That's part of the works of being men and women of faith. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? I think we talked about this a few months back. But blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road and cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And we know that Jesus calls him over instead of going to him because he wanted to see his works of faith. We know that blind Bartimaeus, the scripture tells us, threw off his garment that he had on, which was a beggar's garment, which gave him, it was like the union coat that gave him the right in the city to be a bona fide beggar. He throws that off as he gets up and goes to Jesus. And so blind Bartimaeus comes in front of Jesus and Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? Really? Why? He wanted to hear words of faith. He wanted to hear. That's why he called him over, by the way. He wanted to see works of faith. But he wanted to hear it more than once. Jesus, in another place, Jesus asks, he says to, I believe it was a man, do you want to be well? He wanted to hear faith speak. Your faith and my faith without words is dead. That's why testimony is so powerful. It is a declaration of what God has done and or is doing. And it has with it, how many of you have ever heard a testimony shared and faith is released? I think all of us could say, raise our hands to that. There's an impartation. There's a release of something. Faith is not silent. Faith does not just stand. Nor should it cause us to stand. Now, I realize that sometimes we find ourselves in difficult times and we feel a bit paralyzed, and really all we want to do is stand. And we need a body of people around us who will stand with us. One of the reasons that we're on this adventure concerning faith is because we have a prophetic declaration over this house, that this house will become a house of miracles. It will become a house of faith. It will become a place where miracles are very common. And we are in the process, and we are still in the process. And remember, we're shooting in about a year from now or a little over to launch some healing rooms. And the reality is we are building a culture of faith. We are establishing within a body of people, there can be corporate unbelief. In fact, if you've wondered why it is hard to... It's getting easier, but why it has been so hard at times to see healings take place, it's because there is a corporate unbelief. That doesn't mean there's not faith. It just means there's an accompanying unbelief. And there's this gnawing little mosquitoes that just need to be swatted. So we have been about the business throughout this whole year just swatting mosquitoes to the best that we can. That we can destroy every argument that stands against the reality of a Jesus who went to the cross so that you and I might be healed. A Jesus that went to the cross so that you and I might have provision. Or the Jesus went to the cross so that you and I might have peace and joy. So that there's something of the life of Christ in the atmosphere so that when others come in, they can receive. You and I are establishing an atmosphere for others.
I believe it.
Can you say this with me? It's not about me. It's about way more than us. There is such a need in this world for sanctuaries, and I don't mean physical rooms, but I do mean atmosphere, sanctuaries where there is a faith and where there is a confidence and where there is an expectation that God will do something. Yeah. He am. When Moses said to the voice coming out of the bush, "Who should I say sent me?" He said, "I am." And we are establishing, we want to establish a place where I am is.
Yes. Yes.
And he am whatever we need him to be. He is. We are establishing a place where it is fully believed that it is finished. We've talked about this before, but the reality is when it comes to asking God for things... I want to agree again with Barb. We need to spend a lot more time decreeing stuff than we do petitioning for it. There are so many things that we ask God to do that he already said he would do and then already said was done at the cross. And so there's got to be a decree, a declaration, a legal. The provision of God is a legal right for me. How many of us know that the righteousness of Christ Jesus is ours?
Yes.
So then I have his righteousness. I have his rights.
Amen.
I am righteous. I have the rights of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if that sounds to you like a spoiled brat, somebody said we are. Can we preach that? We are highly favored. We've been given way more than we deserve. We've been given stuff we didn't pay the price for. And I don't know if rat is a good word, but we are children of God. And there is a right that we have to expect to walk in health. There is a right we can have to expect to walk in God's provision. There is a right that we can have to expect to walk in peace. There is a right that we can have to expect to walk in joy. Well, let the bands play then. Call in the clowns. Let's have a party. Yes. No, life goes on. And there are difficulties and there are hard times. But that does not mess with my peace. That does not mess with my joy. That does not mess with my health. That does not mess with my provision. My prosperity. May you prosper, John writes, and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. We heard prophesy a little bit earlier about the pressing and the stretching that some of us have been going through. If you were here this morning and heard that word about trials and you just couldn't relate to it, I'm really happy for you. That's good. And I was serious. Not everything I say is funny. We go through seasons, and I'm always a little difficult when a prophetic word goes out to a whole body of people because I've lived long enough to know it. Not everybody in the body is in the same place at the same time. So, nonetheless, the reality is that some are going through trials and some aren't. Some are coming out of trials. But this one thing I can quite accurately predict. All of us are headed toward a trial. I'm just saying. That is why it is so imperative that we grow in our faith, that we allow faith to make its perfect work inside of us, that we allow ourselves, whether we're in a trial or coming out of one or heading toward one, it doesn't matter. The reality is our relationship with Jesus is so important because I can learn in His presence to rest. And from His presence, I can come into a peace whereby the storm can be, waves can be storming all around me, but there can be an inner peace. How did Jesus sleep in the boat? I want to suggest that you and I are finding out and learning how. We're growing in our ability to sleep in the boat. And we're also growing in our ability at the appointed time and at the right time to speak to the storm and say, "Peace, be still." And so faith is not silent. Faith speaks like the Bible is true. See, faith declares the future before it's here. That's part of the works of faith. But the works of faith are much more. And I realize that there are some here this morning that might be a little bit uncomfortable with this. I remember I used to be. Because we have so established in this house and in the church in general more and more that it's by grace you are saved and not of works. And then we've got this cowboy writing, "Faith without works is dead." And it's like, wait a minute. For by grace you are saved and it's not of works, it is a gift of God. But nonetheless, there are works prepared beforehand. Next verse. There are works prepared beforehand that we must walk in. And so it's good for us to understand that we are saved by faith and faith alone. But our faith must have action to it. Whether it's words or deeds. Whether in word or in deed, do all unto the Lord. Faith is not intellectual. We've said this here in this house for years. Faith is a noun that is looking for a verb. In fact, in the chapter on faith, Hebrews chapter 11, where we see the hall of fame and all, you know, all the greats, the writer of Hebrews talks about their faith, but he has no way to write about their faith without telling us what they did. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. By faith, they did something. There was action. Their faith without their works was dead. In fact, the writer, James, uses Abraham as an example. We've got the picture. Of Abraham offering up Isaac by faith. Yep. If we read elsewhere, we find that Abraham wasn't sure whether he'd go through with it or not, but he knew this. It says he knew that if the boy's life was taken, God could raise him up again. He knew he wasn't going to lose his son. He might lose him, but he'd get him back. That's faith. And so there is a challenge that's going out to us this morning that you and I must put action to our faith. We must be willing to step in. Now, I've got really good news for those of you who find yourself in a battle and feel, as I mentioned a little earlier, a bit paralyzed or a little bit shell-shocked. That's what the body of Christ is for. To come around us and to stand with us and to fight the battles with us. To make the decrees for us when we can't. To fight the battle. To pray for us. To stand with us. See, faith not only speaks like the Bible is true, faith acts like the Bible is true. It causes us to act like the Bible is true. Why is there a team of people going out to the state fair? Because this is true. They're going in faith. How many of you know you've got something to offer? Do you realize that the actions that you and I take are only the opening act for the main event? And that's God's act. But our part is very important. There's the old story of a farmer who moved into town, bought an old farm on the edge of town, pretty run down. Fields were in a mess. House was in a mess. The barn was in a mess. And so he moved into town and he begins working on it. And it's not long, and along came the town preacher. And he said, "Wow, you've got a lot of work to do. I'm going to pray that God will help you." And the guy said, "I'd appreciate that." So time went on, and the preacher would stop out from time to time, and my goodness, things were looking up. Went out there 2-3 months later, and the fields are all tilled, and there's planted, and little sprouts coming up. House is being worked on. He comes back 6 months later. Things are looking pretty good. Crops are beginning to come in. Everything's looking pretty decent. He comes back about 9 months later, and my goodness, it looks like a whole new place. Fields are tended. Fences are fixed. House looks great. And so the preacher says to the guy, he says, "Boy, God really helped you fix this place up, didn't he?" And he said, "Yeah, I suppose he did. But you notice how run down it was when he was working it alone." Our part is very important. We have an earthly part that it isn't that God can't, he won't. And that's a cute story, but the truth is that in our challenges and some of the things that you might have going on in your life or in your body or in your family, whatever it is, you have a part to play. And I know that we are a company of people who so want to see God move. And yet I hear him say over and over again, it's your move. God, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? And there is a desire on the Father's heart to see a body arise in faith, in works and in words of faith, who will put feet to what we believe. Faith without works is dead. Having done all, stand. So I have a question for you this morning. Have you done all in your particular situation, whatever you're standing with? Now, here's a real danger. And that is that we get into a mentality of performance. And we get into, and that's not at all what James is writing about. We need to get into a mentality of obedience. Do what God asks us to do. This morning, before we close, I want us to spend a little time just listening to the Father's voice. What does he want us to do about this situation or that situation? And I have found this, that only you can get the answer for your situation. There's such a need in the body of Christ for you and I to recognize how much God loves us, to recognize who we are, and to begin to press in to co-laboring. I don't know. Co-laboring, co-working with the Holy Spirit. You seeing anything? Okay. We just want to give some. Could we get a keyboardist up here, please? We just want to give some time to him. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? Of course you do. Probably one of the biggest stories of faith in the Old Testament. By the way, we don't often think of it in this way, but almost the whole Old Testament, and especially the heroes of the Old Testament, were written that we could see what faith looks like. They were walking out their faith. And we know the story of David. He took the sling and the 5 stones and only needed one, and brought down the giant. But it's important that we recognize that he ran toward the giant with his mouth open. Yeah. He said some things before he did some things. I want to read to you what he said. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. The Lord is the battle's. The battle is the Lord's, we just read. Declaration of David. And yet there he is, running toward the giant. It's not recorded in Scripture, but I personally think he was still talking as he ran. I want to encourage you, do not face your adversary silently. Learn to use your voice. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. I encourage you to get into a flow of prayer and to allow prophetic decree. It's a declaration. I feel sometimes like we don't like to use that word because it's not common to us, decree. It's just a declaration with oomph behind it. It's just declarations with legality behind it. If we really believe that at the cross it was finished, then there's a whole lot of things that we can decree.
Yes. Amen.
That tinge that we feel when we decree something and that little thing that rises up and says, "Who do you think you are?" That's the voice of unbelief. That's the voice that we're out to destroy.
Amen. That's right.
Because you know who you are. By the way, I don't want to imply this morning that we've arrived at somewhere you haven't. We all, one reason that this is so real to me is because we're living it.
Amen.
Whether we like it or not. And so when I mention that little voice that argues, I want you to know that we know that voice very well. And I'm not speaking as though it is even easy. I'm not saying it's easy, I'm saying it's necessary. God is training us in one way or another, all of us in the school of life, to be men of God, to be women of God, who know our God and do great exploits, who do know our God and declare things. Somebody getting a word of knowledge right now? We're just waiting on him. somebody seeing a vision.
Just before Bob says something about a word of knowledge, Lord just put on my heart the scripture, faith comes. Mm-hmm. That faith, as Hebrews 11 says, is assurance. It's a conviction. So I don't believe the Bible really teaches that we have to create our own faith.
No.
But the Lord delights in us coming before him, being honest. He really values honesty. He's a really hard guy to fool. A really hard guy to fool. You know, now Biff, don't con me. You know, that, you know, I mean, really, he wants us just to be real and honest and say, I need help. I need faith. I need help with my doubts. And it's amazing what happens when you're just honest with God. And he'll just start tearing apart gently where our unbelief comes from, and faith will grow, and it is awesome.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I see in the spirit a broken person just down on their face, not being able to do anything. And that person is me. Because I went through a lot in my life. And I can do nothing without Christ. And he raised me up. And I am strong. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have seen miracles. I have seen my faith grow from nothing to great. And he's doing the same thing in me as he's doing in you. He's taking a little faith and growing it into a great big thing. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I have seen miracles and miracles and miracles. I can do nothing. It is not me that does them. It is Christ working in me and through me. And it is only by my obedience and my openness to him that these things are able to be done. And he can do the same thing with you. Fear hinders us. Doubts and unbelief hinders us. But with Christ, all things are possible. And he makes you an overcomer. He makes you from that broken person into a mighty warrior like David. That can decree and declare things of the Lord, and you will see them happen. I have seen multitudes of my prayers answered. And if he can do it for me, a broken vessel that he fixed, he can do it with you. And that's what he's aiming for right now, is to know that all of you are able to do these things. Because it's not through us, it is through him.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Come on up.
The other night I had a dream, and I didn't know exactly what it meant. I did some research, I looked at scriptures, and in faith I asked God to reveal to me why he had given me this dream and what it means. And I believe that today he answered my prayer. Bob, while you were talking, I was taking notes. And you talked about how in this house our faith is being bestirred or stirred up. You reminded us that a prophecy was spoken and declared over this house that it is a house of faith. Well, now I want to tell you about this dream. It was very vivid, and I just couldn't, stop thinking about it. In a house, there was a man, and he was lying on a cot. The name of this man is Peter. And it's funny, the Lord uses the names of people who have names that you know. But in this case, I was directed to think of his name. And Peter, I was told, this is faith. Okay, well, this man rose, he jumped off of his cot. And the house suddenly burst into flame. And the house was ablaze. And it wasn't a fearful thing. It wasn't something that was being destroyed. It was something wonderful to behold. And I believe that this dream was for this house and for all of us.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Second Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. And the Lord was just telling me, we all are cracked pots, and he made us that way. Because we have the light of Christ that needs to shine. And if we're not cracked, if we're not broken, that light's not going to go out. There's no purpose for that light to be hidden. Part of this is having to have the living testimonies of freedom. Part of this is dealing with the cracks. Part of this is just being available to let the light shine in spite of the cracks and wondering, okay, God, you see the crack. When are you going to fix it? And part of it is walking it out and saying, okay, I'm going to go through the fire, and I'm going to see what the test is. And they say that years ago, they would put gold in a pot, liquid gold, to find out where the cracks were at. And they could then test the pot to see if it was worthy. And if there was gold in those cracks, they knew that there was a crack, but what resulted is it was sealed by the gold, and it became sincere. Sincere. The Lord is calling you to deal with those cracks. He's calling you to be transparent and just not pretend that everything's okay. Nobody's okay. I'm not even okay. Okay? And so we need to be sincere with the Lord. We need to let him test us and receive the gold. But in the meantime, we need that light to shine. So what I'm feeling in all of this is there needs to be vulnerability. There needs to be community. There needs to be a sense of, okay, we are not a healthy body, so let's get healthy. There's many ways to do that. It may be like last night, I was 1 o'clock. I was on the floor in my living room dealing with issues that I'm so angry about. And as I spoke and prayed in tongues, I released things in my spirit I didn't even know was there. But I was frustrated with life. And finally, an hour later, I felt free. That's what God wants us to do. I don't know why I'm talking, but Jesus, we just ask right now that there's a move in this body to make us sincere, to let this light shine out of us. If we're supposed to be broken in letting light shine, we receive that. We receive your teaching us to walk in faith. We teach us how to move, in which direction to go. Because we don't know, but you do. This is not an act. This is faith. Hmm. And we step into that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you as we go from this place that we can go in freedom. The freedom to know that you are still working in us. The freedom to know that we can be transparent and vulnerable with those around us, those that are close to us. We thank you for the freedom that we have to be real. And we thank you that that is Christ and that is faith. And we thank you that those cracks, those weaknesses attract you and draw you. Fill our cracks, O Lord. Fill us in those places where we don't know that we have a brokenness. Show us. Make it clear to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Three words. I gotta see this.
Faith, trust, obedience.
Yes! Faith, trust, obedience. Amen. We agree. If you want the expounded version, see Wayne. I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come on up. There'll be prayer teams up here if you'd like prayer. I encourage you, go this morning from here in faith with a new resolve to give words to your faith and action to your faith in obedience to Him. The Lord bless you.